Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Chad Dundas, who is out with a new novel, The Blaze. It's his second novel. The book's available now wherever your fine books are sold. Chad's he's a sports writer by trade, written a lot of sports over the years, Chad. And so I'm always intrigued when sports guys, I know Mike Greenberg has done this, Mike Lupica does it, you know, the guys that traditionally cover sports branch out into writing novels about things that don't have anything to do with sports. Is that sort of a way that lawyers branch out into writing books that have nothing to do with law?
Well, it might be. I guess for me, I've always been interested in both. I started out doing creative writing in college, but switched over to a journalism major and kind of fell into that niche as I graduated and got my career started. So I really do love both journalism and doing fiction stuff. They're very much connected in my mind. I think that, you know, good writing is good writing, and I always tell people I learned as much about the craft of writing from doing journalism and working for newspapers and websites than I did in any creative writing workshop. So for me, the two things are just very closely associated in my mind.
It's always been a fascinating thing to me. So anyway, in this book, The Blaze, you've got Matthew Rose. He's a veteran coming back from war, an Army veteran, and he's got a traumatic brain injury that we're going to get into a little bit. Goes back to his hometown in Montana, and he's got some memory issues that prevent him from remembering really his past. He can remember kind of big things, but nothing. He doesn't have a lot of details, right?
Yeah, he's lost a lot of his biological memory because of that traumatic brain injury that he suffered due to an IED explosion. So, you know, one of the main sources of conflict in the book is Matthew's journey, you know, not only trying to figure out his own past, but also sort of trying to reorient himself in the present and reestablish himself in civilian life.
As you write that character with that particular brain injury, how do you know where the memory, where the basic stuff that he can remember stops and where he has to fill in the gaps?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that when I started out, I was a little bit naive about what it would be like to write about a character who had suffered such dramatic memory loss. You know, that as I started getting into working on the book and you know, doing different drafts of the book, I started to realize that as humans, we're really just kind of an amalgamation of all of our previous experiences and all of our you know, wants, desires, the things that we like are in many ways based on the things that we've experienced in the past. And so writing about a character like Matthew, who doesn't have that base of experience to draw on, was really unique and kind of challenging. In the end, I think that we got it right and figured out a way to do the book so that it really worked out, and I hope that it's enjoyable for readers. But at the same time, yeah, you're absolutely right. A lot of the choices that I had to make concerned, you know, what Matthew could remember and what he couldn't remember, and a lot of that, in the end, just kind of had to do with what parts of his brain were affected by the injury. There are parts of the brain that control biological memory, and there are parts of the brain that control, you know, somewhat different memories and experiences. And so, in the end, I just had to make a choice about that his biographical memory was wiped out, but that he retained some other kind of like touchstone memories that would help him be a functioning person in the world, even though he doesn't remember much about himself.
Is his a particular diagnosable condition in and of itself?
Yeah, he has, in the book, a fairly common brain injury called a diffuse axonal injury. And actually, you know, traumatic brain injury is being referred to now as the signature wound of this modern warfare because so many soldiers are coming back having suffered that kind of injury. Some of his specific symptoms are a little bit fictionalized just to make the book function the way it does, but the bedrock injury that he does have is a fairly common one for people that have TBI.
He went back to settle his father's estate to help out with that upon his father's death, and he sees a house fire one night. He's also got, he meets up with kind of an ex, I guess, that he had you know, run into from Georgie Porter. She's working for a newspaper now. And I guess that character of Georgie made the book function so well because she was a connection to his past who he remembered in general. So was that sort of the reason that Georgie came into play, is that she was that hook to his past because his father was gone?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you said it really well. She's kind of a necessary character in the book because she is able to inform the reader about things that Matthew Rose himself cannot, just because he doesn't remember them. So she's a very important part of how the book actually works. And at the same time, you know, I always knew that I think she was going to be a point of view character in the book, just because I didn't want Matthew to be out here as kind of like a lone wolf, disconnected from everything in society, trying to figure out his own path. I wanted him to have some connections to his previous life. And Georgie Porter, who you mentioned, is kind of a former girlfriend of his and also a lifelong friend. They grew up more like brother and sister than anything else. You know, she was kind of always going to be there just to sort of anchor not only him, but the rest of the book in a, you know, in his previous life back home.
I'm chatting with Chad Dundas about his new novel, The Blaze. The book is available now wherever your fine books are sold. By the way, his 2016 debut novel, Champion of the World, historical fiction novel, that is still available as well. As I got this book in the mail, Matthew, I looked at the quote on the front. It's from Alifair Burke. Your second novel out, you're getting a quote from Alifair Burke on your front cover. That's nothing to shake a stick at.
Well, yeah, thanks. It was a big thrill to get that. excuse me, and I appreciated that Alifair was willing to read the book and that she liked it and provided us with that wonderful quote. Yeah, it was amazing.
You studied creative writing there in you live in Montana, Missoula, and you studied Montana or you studied Montana. You studied creative writing at the university. When you get into sports writing after with the creative writing background, or maybe you were doing both at the same time, that creative writing background I think is so important for just functioning in everyday life. It just makes you see things differently. As you talk to your fellow sports writers, how much did that creative writing influence how you choose to write and cover and see what's important in an event?
It affects it a lot, to be honest with you. You know, I think it helps you not only with the line-by-line craft of writing, but I think also with the, you know, details that you choose to use, and also just putting a little color in the stuff that you write that you know, makes sports writing a little bit different than the rest of news writing. In that you're telling these stories where everyone largely who's reading it knows the outcome, so you bring a little something extra to the prose to you know, spice it up a little bit. People like to have a little fun sometimes with sports writing. So yeah, the two things bleed very much together in my mind. And you know, the journalism I think informs my fiction just in terms of economical language and establishing sort of a narrative speed, keeping things moving for the reader so it feels somewhat propulsive to them. And then on the other side, I think fiction does inform my journalism just in the way that that the actual prose works and some of the style things that you can do in sports writing that maybe you can't do with other journalistic writing.
Well, one of the tricks of journalism is just getting people to answer the questions that you want. And then from your standpoint, it's making sure to ask the right question. So the creative writing, how does that inform just the questions you can ask to try to get an actual story?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. You know, sometimes I find that as a journalist, the trick is to not talk as much maybe as you would in other walks of life. You want to let the subject tell the story, and clearly you're there to sort of prompt them and guide them through this interview process. But at the same time, one of the things I tell aspiring journalists all the time is to try to ask good and short but direct questions, just because, you know, sometimes I think you get the most honest answer from a subject if they are doing the talking, if they're not, you know, kind of pre-forming answers in their mind while you're asking really long questions. I think that it gets them to really give you the best answer that they can if they're just kind of speaking off the cuff. And so, you know, that's one of the tips that I like to share with other sports writers, just in terms of, you know, the best way to conduct an interview and get real, sometimes fresh, off-the-cuff answers from subjects.
Setting a book in Montana like you did when you lived there, when you've grown up there, is that I've noticed that people tend to demand more accuracy in their fiction writing than they do in their journalism. Is that kind of an experience that you've had, making sure to get those details right?
I tell you what, there's a certain kind of pressure that comes along with setting a book in your hometown, because you do not want to screw that up. All the people that you know are going to read it, and people who live there are going to read it, and if you don't do the place justice and don't do a good job capturing that setting and that scene, you are definitely going to hear about it. So yeah, it's easier in some ways, obviously, because I'm biased. I think Montana is a great place to set a mystery, and I've lived there a lot of my life, so I know, you know, the ins and outs of my hometown. I know where things are, where the best settings for various points or beats in the novel will be. But at the same time, yeah, man, you have to be in tune with it, and you have to get it right, because if it doesn't ring true, all my friends are going to know.
Well, literally, the entire story is made up, so why do you think people get so defensive about making sure the setting is exact?
You know what? That's another great question. It is, in some ways, a paradox, just because, yeah, everything in a book of fiction is made up, and so to quibble over one detail or another does sometimes feel silly. And in my own mind, what I try to think of it as just making sure that everything in the book feels organic to the world of the story. So it's not necessarily that I try to get every single detail right. As you mentioned earlier in the show, my first book, Champion of the World, was historical fiction and took place in the early 1920s. And so that book required a lot of additional research in kind of more of a pervasive way than The Blaze did as I was writing it. But instead of trying to just exactly create a facsimile of reality, I think what I try to do is make sure that every detail, you know, every line, every word that I write feels organic to the story. So as people are reading it, they don't encounter anything that kind of jogs them out of the story or disrupts their suspension of disbelief, and so that they can stay involved in the story, stay, you know, in this kind of dream world that the book creates without ever feeling like they get knocked out of that. So to me, that's the most important thing. Not necessarily that every exact thing in the book is 100% true to the way it is in reality, but making sure that everything in the book feels like a world unto itself.
It's definitely a thriller, and I enjoyed it. The book is The Blaze. It's the latest novel by Chad Dundas. The book's available now wherever your fine books are sold from the good folks at Putnam. Chad, thanks for joining us to talk about your book.
You bet. Thanks so much, Brian.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakulskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.